The reading this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory.
Morning. Again. Well, isn't God good?
Yes.
Thank you. He's really good. I've just been so blessed this morning. It's been great worshipping as a community, worshipping with his people. And I hope that you have felt God in this place. It's good. So yeah, this morning, we're picking up on our series, Fruit of the Spirit, with the gentleness. And there's a dingbat there, which I've created. I was very pleased with that one. It came to my mind. I thought I'm going to use that to open up my slides. As I'm talking this morning, I'm going to be focusing on three things. And this is the first one. Power under control. So I've got power under control. Yeah. I know. You can take it off if you like. You can have that for free. But no, so I'm going to be picking up several things as we think about this theme of gentleness. Strength under control, a relationship in check, and a tongue under restraint. So those are the three things. Before I move on into these points, it's worth noting gentleness is often confused with meekness, and meekness is translated as weakness. The Greek word praios was defined as power under control, humble, teachable. Is that you? Is that you? Are you humble? Are you teachable? I don't know what picture is brought to mind when you consider gentleness. Perhaps like Paul, as he offered earlier, the sports person with Nathan playing tennis. Potential, his body, there's power in his body, and there's potential for it to be released, either in a really strong way or in a controlled way. The Greeks always had a picture, and they have their definition in terms of it being a picture is a wild horse tamed and brought under control. Gentleness, and they have a picture of a wild horse under control. I was thinking about it, thinking, oh, what might it be today? Perhaps a motorbike. I have only ridden a motorbike a couple of times when I was taking my test. So I have a full license, but I've never actually owned a bike. And now my wife is definitely saying you're not allowed a bike. But I am aware that when you have a motorbike, especially when you've got the really littlies, like the 50cc and the 125s, they have restrictors on them. So they have power, but it's restricted. I know Tom up there, he's got a big motorbike. 600-700cc. Goes very quickly. I had a friend who had a Blackbird, which is a 1,100cc motorbike. And he took me out on it, and that was rather interesting. Very quick, fortunately, a lot of power, but he had it under control. And I've got a couple of others there, picking up on the sports. You've got the scrummage. See all the steam coming off of them. You think, oh dear. Ooh, smelling it. Ooh. But yeah, there's that power, isn't there? There's that, you know, you've seen rugby players. You know, they're big. They're really strong, aren't they? And you think, dearie me, if I was to run into them, I'm going to get hurt. But they have it. They're controlled in that. You see that, don't you? When you often see after matches when you see these big rugby guys carrying their little child, and you think, wow, that's power under control. And I like that picture of the mum bear and the baby bear. And for me, I thought, oh, I've got to have that. Because it just really pictured to me what control. There is power under control. We are aware, unfortunately we don't have grizzly bears here. Last summer I went to America and we were talking to somebody and they said, oh, where do we live? We live near some woods. Ooh. What do you do with the bears? We don't really have bears in Port Woods. We're okay. But, you know, this idea is, you see, they are big power, especially grizzly bears, they are incredibly powerful. There are lots of wild animals, a lion, a tiger, and they can be, you know, their body ripples, the muscles, you can see, when they tense, you can see that power. Yet, they have it in so much control. A mother lion will grab its cub by the neck and carry it somewhere. A bear, I saw something on YouTube which had a bear pulling there. The cub's trying to get over the fence and she was already out. She's like, I've had enough of waiting. Bent down, grabbed it by the head and pulled it over. Obviously, very gently in terms of the... But those teeth, they've got so much power. So in our natural world, we can see great illustrations of power under control. Gone too far. Power under control. Perhaps you can think about water. There's a dam. And actually that dam was the one that was in Ukraine. Whilst the dam was in place, the water was in control. And it was being controlled and to provide hydroelectric. So it was being fed through to enable power. Yet, it was destroyed, and you see the force of the power of the water when it's not controlled. Perhaps you've experienced that yourself, maybe when you've been in the sea. When I was younger, I used to always go in the sea when there was a big waves. Exhilarating. And you think, yeah, I'm strong. And all of a sudden, back, you're flat down on your front, getting pebble dash as it pushes you back towards the beach. So there is this thing about power. But having it in control. And I think this morning, we have to recognise that God, there is power in God, isn't there? God is all-powerful, but he's also controlled. He expresses gentleness. Perhaps if you remember nothing else from this morning, is this, I tell you not to watch TV if you want to pick up some gentleness. If you want to develop in gentleness, don't watch TV. Our sitcoms, our movies are full of people screaming or swearing, beating up, punching out, threatening people to make my day. If we consider what we watch, I would suggest there is little or no example of gentleness. Gentleness is power under control. So, gentleness his strength under control. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men." I've got a bit small, hopefully, Tyson Fury, Gandhi, Einstein, and Martin Luther King. And I've put them all together because actually they all express power under control. I think, you know, Tyson Fury, yeah, he's a violent person when he's in the boxing ring. But I'm not... Potentially some might say, well, he's not exactly controlled outside of the ring. But you think about boxers, they have so much power under control because they don't tend to walk around the streets. I'm not aware. Perhaps you might go, well, I've heard stories. There are one or two, Mike Tyson perhaps. But usually they have their power under control. And I know when people learn martial arts stuff, they're encouraged to say, this is for you to help you control yourself, not to be used as a weapon. The other three, perhaps when we think about gentle people, they would be in mind, more likely in mind. They are powerful people, though we may not think it. They are very powerful. They have changed society. But as a Christian, I want to definitely think of Jesus. Jesus power under control. As you live your life, he is meant to be our model. He is meant to be the one that inspires us, who we represent. So therefore, we need to be demonstrating in our physicality power under control. Now, I'm not perfect. Especially when I was younger, my temper was not great. I would express myself possibly not in the best way, certainly not gentle. But as I've grown up, as I've matured, I have been able to cope better. You see, gentleness is not often regarded as an adolescent strength, is it? It comes through the maturing of men and women. And I bet if you look at yourselves young and old and think, I've definitely matured. I have more control now than I did in my younger days. Matthew 5:5 says, God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. God wants to bless us. And especially if we are living out being gentle, this fruit. You see, gentleness is not something we believe. It is a lifestyle we live. Can you repeat that? Gentleness is not something we believe. It's a lifestyle we live. If you remember nothing else from anything else I say this morning, I think that would be a nugget to remember. It's a lifestyle we live. So it's power or strength under control. There we go. It's a relationship in check. Gentleness is a relationship in check. 1 Thessalonians 2:6 to 8 says this, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. As we heard at the beginning of the reading, they've just come from the Philippians, and they were being abused and accused, and they said, actually, so they could have gone right in and gone, right, I've had enough of this, we're going to come in really hard. Straight away. But they controlled themselves. They spoke well. They dealt with people well. Just as gentleness is a strength under control, it's also a relationship. They kept themselves in check. Paul recognises and says that we need to deal with our relationships to others. So often when we think about relationships, it can be those that we love the most that we hurt the most. Those that we love the most, we can in fact hurt the most. In the way we treat them, the way we act towards them. This is so true, we can think and look to make this acceptable by saying, wow, it's only because they know, I know that I, you know, they love me, that's why I'm being attacked. We start making excuses. But does that make it right? Especially those who would regard themselves and call themselves Christians. Do we keep ourselves, our relationships in check? I know we're not perfect, and I recognise that we do occasionally stumble. I know I stumble. But whether we are a Christian or not, it's good to be aware that gentleness, as the fruit of the Spirit, helps to see others in God's perspective. Let's all recognise that. To see people from God's perspective. To see relationships from God's perspective. It keeps things from being personal. It keeps in check our retorts, our responses. There's that old thing, isn't it? Before you make a response, count to 10. You go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. And then sometimes you go 10, 9, 8, 7. But it's about having control rather than an outburst, which we're all very good at. We're all very good at that. And especially when we're tired and we're exhausted and maybe we've had a rough day at work. Boof! We need to keep ourselves in check. We live in a war zone. Whether you look around the room this morning or at your friends, or your work colleagues, you can see the mangled lives from where they have made wrong choices or had years of criticism. They've been worn down. Maybe we are aware of people that have made wrong choices in business and now their integrity is suspect and they're about to lose their job. Maybe it's someone who's made a wrong moral decision and finds their marriage being destroyed. Maybe, fill in the blank, could go on. But God is saying, through the fruit of the Spirit, in this one, gentleness, to make us act differently towards others. Galatians 6:1 says this, if any person is overtaken to misconduct or sin, you who are spiritual should set him right, set her right, and restore and reinstate them without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. God says to us, when you see people who are caught in sin, like the woman at the well, like the woman caught in adultery, like the thief and embezzler Zacchaeus, when you see people like that, he says, church, be gentle. Let's be careful, their lives are so fragile. They could be easily broken, but they could also be restored. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men could couldn't put Humpty together again. Now that little nursery rhyme was originally written about people, broken people, people who fell off the wall, so to speak. People who found their lives smashed. I bet we know people that have had their, got their lives that are just falling apart. And then all of the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put them back together again. We need to recognise that actually the only person who can make smashed people well and back together is God. Okay? I want you to know you're not redeemers. Do you know that? You are not redeemers. There is one redeemer, and that is Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. He is the ultimate and only redeemer. And if you find people are damaged or hurt, you go and support them, but you do it in Christ's strength, not your own. If you're trying to do it in your own, you will crash. So please, recognize that you are not the redeemer. Jesus Christ is. Bring people to Jesus. Bring people to Jesus. God said, because they are mine, I created them. I want them back. More than anything else, I want them back. Thank you, God. Thank you that you don't turn your back on us and say, I've had enough. He could have done, he would have done it plenty of times in the Old Testament. Do you know what, guys? I've tried. Oh, please help us again. We're so sorry. That's the people of Israel, by the way. God said, no, come on. I'm back again. And he does it for me. Because I fail every time. Well, not every day. Every day. And God says, come on. He doesn't say, well, you've had 25,000 chances now, Nick. That's it. I'm giving up. He says, all right, well, let's try another 25,000 to see how you do. Because God's like that. God is gentleness. So we're called to be gentle. Will you allow the spirit of gentleness in your life to forgive and guide that one to come back home to God? That is the miracle of the new birth. That's the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Even in a world full of hostility, gentleness can keep our relationships in check. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. Philippians 4:5. So we're going to keep our relationships in check. There's a last little thing that we need to potentially keep in check. Gentleness is a tongue under restraint. In other words, keep your words under control. James 1:26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. As already said, the Greek word for gentleness is a wild horse tamed. James says that about the tongue, doesn't he? He says that this is dangerous. Like a forest fire, like a flame sets fire. This is dangerous. And only the Holy Spirit can gentle the tongue. Has your tongue been gentled by the Holy Spirit? I have a teenager still at home. Well, not at home, she's sort of home now. But we've had three teenagers go through our house. Some of you have got teenagers currently. Some of you have yet to have teenagers, and others have had teenagers that have gone through already. Now, they are usually just emotional time bombs. They're ticking away until something occurs, and then there's a big volcanic eruption. And this volley of words, uncontrolled words, comes and ask them why they're feeling that way, and they would often say, I don't know. I have had many experiences of that. You see, because adolescence or puberty, they're out of control, their body's like, whoa, whoa. And if you're a parent, Sometimes, and I'm not proud of this, but especially when my boys were younger, potentially, though I was older than them, I acted like an adolescent too. One 35-year-old, the other 16, in the same house, both being teenagers. That doesn't work. You see, we're not born with gentleness. We must grow in it as a gift from the Holy Spirit. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip or in love and with a gentle spirit? So what I know, I'm not proud of some ways I've raised my... I think I've done okay, but there are moments when I let them down. And maybe some of you go, you know, yeah, I know I've let my kids down, don't I? But that's okay. Because we're not perfect. Do you understand that? You are not perfect. So you will fail. Okay, I can tell you now. You will. Whatever you might be doing, whether it's raising kids, whether it's in work, you will. But when it comes to these sort of things like the kids, you have to go, okay, God, I'm going to try to be gentler. Help me to be the one that's setting the example. Did you know that a fig tree, its branches, its stems, its roots, its leaves, they're all so bitter. No one can eat them. But actually the fruit, I'm not keen on figs. But you know, Well, you're not keen on anything vegetable thing. Oh, okay, it's just fruit. Yeah. But figs. Ooh. Sorry, yes. Oh, thanks for reminding me. But no, so, do you know what I mean? So if you could think in some ways, that fig tree is out of control. Well, what's the point? Yeah, it's bark, it's all bitter, but it produces this really fruit that is tasteful and lovely. And they make it into a pudding with things like cream. It's not cream, creme fraiche. I think that's right. You see, controlling our tongue in its sinful, evil nature is only accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit. We're all vulnerable. Wouldn't it be nice if we could find other things as easily as finding fault? We're so good at finding fault, but to find other things, wouldn't that be great? As I end, I want to encourage us all to consider whether we have that spirit of gentleness that enables us to live and speak despite the setbacks and circumstances of our life. Have you allowed God to gentle your tongue, your heart? When the world came down on Jesus, when they misused and abused him, what kept him from destroying the earth? It was a gentle spirit. It was a gentle spirit. Strength under control. You see, he could have called down 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone. For you and for me. This is gentle Jesus, who said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." In our week ahead, let's look out for examples of strength under control. Let's seek to keep relationships in check, in that we can keep ourselves in check. And in doing so, hope that it translates into action in the lives of those around us. Because we need to be the one modelling. Because it's not, as I said, it's not coming through the TV. We need to be the ones modelling it. And let's ensure that our tongues offer gentleness rather than destruction. Let's build up, not tear down.